Hello, welcome to another episode of Horizon Scan with me, Gaz, and Hugh.
That's me. I'm Hugh.
Fucking hell, I hope, like, if you're listening to this for the first time, I apologise, it's not normally this one. How are you, Hugh?
I'm alright. OJ Simpson's died, isn't he? Sad face.
He has, yeah. OJ's died. Yeah. Fucking hell. Crazy.
The only reason he's a household name, right? We know the reason he's a household name among our generation and above, anyway.
Yes.
But they don't mention that in any of the headlines or anything. Like, I haven't seen it anyway. They say OJ Simpson, NFL player or whatever, died, and then the news reports I've seen at some point in the segment, they'll say he was known for car chase and getting accused of murder and all that.
He got acquitted.
Everyone knows he did it, but
he got acquitted. So that's the, technically, that is the correct way to refer to him. His career in, it's for our time, really. But dude was apparently amazing football player, like really, really good. And obviously, yeah, went into film. He's good in Naked Gun and all that. He's done some funny stuff. But yeah, probably fucking chop some people up.
It's true, actually. It's true. I'm glad that the murder that he got off with launched his acting career.
Yeah. That's fucking mad. Yeah. But he's gone now. So memes, I've been disappointed with the memes. The memes have not been as good as I expected.
You've been disappointed with the dead person hate?
No, just what you say. You can, and he was well aware of this. He is a joke, like him killing people that, oh, I didn't do this. He's played up to it on so many occasions.
There's that clip with what's her name? The interviewer, the lady, black
Ruby
hair.
Wax.
Ruby Wax.
Yeah.
Where he asks her, for people that haven't seen it, he asks her on camera, she asks him in an interview. Oh, no, he says, no, we're going to carry on with the interview as long as you don't ask me about it. And she's okay, well, did you do it? And he's like, no, I did not do it on camera. And then after the interview, like, they've got the cameras rolling in the back, in the dressing room, the changing, what do you call it, dressing rooms?
Green room, changing room.
Changing room, green room area, probably changing rooms there, whatever. Anyway, he comes knocking on the door and comes in at her with a knife, mock stabbing her with a knife.
Yeah.
Which is apparently, so I read something this morning that, he wrote a book about how he didn't do it.
Yeah.
But if he was going to do it, this is how he would have done it. And he described the murders in near perfect detail.
That's it. Like, he knew he got away with it. It became a joke. That's the world. The world's fucking weird. Unless you are the people who's died family. Obviously, that's not going to be great for them repeatedly to see this guy mocking them effectively. However, the rest of the world, I think, kind of thought it was sort of funny.
And it's also one of the reasons the Kardashians came to...
The Kardashians?
Became even bigger, wasn't it?
The fucking Kardashians. Where are you from? Don't we say Kardashians? What? Isn't it? Everyone in the rest of the world pronounces them Kardashians. Fucking
really?
Kardashians.
I often pronounce things wrong. The Kardashians, is it?
It's Kardashians, yeah.
Kardashians. Yeah.
Not that I really give a fuck. I'm just saying it surprised me the way you just said that. It was very odd. I thought you were trying to be posh.
No, it happened, mate. I get words wrong.
So does everybody with retards. So it was the mum's husband at the time was the lawyer that got him off, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. Yeah, it's all disconnected. Fucking Hollywood. It's all weird. It's all connected. So, what should we talk about? We've got a few things. We can talk about Brazil. What's going on with sort of free speech violations in Brazil and a bit of the current situation there. But to link in, I think we spoke about this last time. We talked about J.K. Rowling and all the trans stuff. It was to do with the hate law in Scotland when we were talking about it last time. Sorry to focus on this, but this is what's in the news. This CAS report has come out which she's got the details up there now, but it's all connected to this. Well, yeah, to how we deal with trans stuff and age, basically, to do with kids. God, what's the general rundown of this?
It's hard to give it a general rundown. Okay. But a review into the NHS's gender identity services has found that children and young people have been let down by a lack of research and evidence on medical interventions in a debate that has become exceptionally toxic. I don't know what they mean by that. Maybe they mean that...
It means we'd rather not talk about this.
Does that just mean heated? Okay, Dr. Hilary Carr said a report was not about defining what it means to be trans or undermining the validity of trans identities, but about how best to help the growing number of children and young people who are looking for support from the NHS in relation to their gender identity. Now, it goes on with the report's findings, but there's a key question there is why? Why is there an increase in people, in young people looking for support in relation to their gender identity? And there's actually parts in the review about that as well. Anyway, so she says the results of the results of studies which are referred to for giving this gender like interventionary operations and stuff. She says the results of those studies are exaggerated or misrepresented by people on all sides in the debate. To support their viewpoint, the reality is that there is no good evidence on the long-term outcomes of interventions to manage gender-related distress. Basically, what she's saying is these policies are being brought into place, or clinics are popping up and are being allowed to do these interventions. It's about a real bad idea because of either evidence-based studies historically on this, or a lack of evidence supporting these permanent changes to people's, young people's bodies. It's what the fucking policy says, basically. Yeah. It's one of those things that anyone who's got a common sense brain, it would think, oh yeah, it's obvious. We know this. Well, now it's in a nice, shiny document from the government.
Yeah. So basically, young people look... Some people are a bit confused. They're not fully formed yet. They don't really know what's going on. But lots of people in their young years, teenage years, they're formative. They want to fit in. They're not quite sure about who they are. You may have questions about your identity, of your sexuality, all of those things. Many people go through that. Many, 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 many people, whether they talk about it or not. And if you have, when you talk to people who are supposed to be experts in this and they suggest something as an option that may not be suited for you, but you believe them, and then end up doing permanent change to yourself based on that advice, support, you can call it, people obviously will call it support or whatever, you can have some real fucking bad outcomes. Probably worse, in my view anyway, probably worse than just being a bit unsure about yourself for a while. And you're going to end up with some, in my view, maybe I'm fucking wrong, shout at me. Making those sort of interventions or making those interventions possible prior to somebody being 18 when they're an adult and can do what the fuck they want. And, you know, it seems like child abuse to me. And lots of people, when they say this conversation is toxic, well, it is because they don't want to talk about it. It's toxic to them. It's toxic to people who think this is a good idea to talk to, you know, to kids about this stuff. Like, I'm sure there are some fucking genuine trans kids, and maybe, and this will sound fucking heartless, maybe a couple of those might fucking kill themselves before they get to 18 because they're really stressed about it. Maybe. But on the whole, it doesn't seem a good idea to talk to kids about this stuff and have them make permanent change to themselves that early. And the fact that this stuff has been enabled by the NHS seems like there's a fucking a very dark hole that if you actually looked into it, some people are going to be fucked. And I think that's pretty much what the report says.
Yeah, it makes sense.
Yeah. It's just, it's common, it's like you said, it's common sense. You're a fucking kid. You do not know what the fuck's going on, you know? I'm quite sure there are people who are, I know fucking, you will as well. We both know people who used to be dudes and are now chicks. I don't know anyone the other way, but I know dudes who are now chicks. That's me personally anyway. I don't know people who've gone the other way.
So, no, I don't.
Quite happy that that's a thing. You're an adult. Do what you want. If that makes you feel better, you enjoy your life more like that. If you have a more fulfilling life like that, fucking go for it. Do not care. You're an adult.
Well, it's actually the majority of people, young people who express gender incongruence. Do we say? I just read that word in the Guardian, then Googled it.
Okay.
Are female.
Uh-huh.
Majority are female. And so, when they're considering sex change, it's female to male. Uh-huh. Now, the question is why, and this is actually, it's actually good to discuss this, because this, the question is, okay, why then, if it's not an issue, why then has there been a massive increase in the number of young people presenting with gender incongruence, gender identity issues, or unhappiness now compared to or 10 years ago when it was something like, I'm trying to find the figures here, but it's gone through the roof. So it went from something like 50 a year, something like that, to getting treatment to something like 3,000 or 5,000, it ramped up. Now, the cast review talked about this. Now, I think we've talked about this before. One of the things is we've mentioned on this is one of the reasons can be social contagion, mm-hmm. because you're seeing lots of people in society talk or do this thing. And so at a point of your, in your life and your mental state, you're in a particular vulnerability, then you decide, oh, I want to do that thing too. And this has been seen in history,
yep.
through like recent history as well. Like when homosexuality started getting talked about a lot in the 70s, but more so in the 80s, and partly because of the AIDS virus, homosexuality went through the roof. They went through the roof. And it wasn't, and it's not because all of a sudden people's biology was changing. It's one of the things the CASP report points out. It's like people's biology hasn't changed in the last 5 years. The physiological makeup has not changed in the last 5 years. So what has to make this ramp up? And it's the same with homosexuality. And it's been the same. I remember in the 90s that transsexuality, so just dressing up as the opposite sex, and that was mainly men dressing up as women, that seemed to be rampant. I mean, it was huge at one point, I seem to remember. And it's kind of the same thing, partly social contagion. But so going back to my point on this is, okay, so why has it increased? Why is there, let's look. In 2009, the NHS's Gender Identity Development Service, GIDS, saw fewer than 50 children a year. This is 2009. Since then, demand increased 100-fold with more than 5,000 seeking help in 2021-2022. So the question is why? And the CAST report is saying this. So one of the reasons could be social media and the internet. Generation Z and Generation Alpha, I've never heard that before. Those born since 2010 is Generation Alpha. Okay. Have grown up with unprecedented online lives. We know this. I won't go through and regurgitate what it's saying here. It's given greater access to the internet and learning resources, but also made young people vulnerable to new dangers. Biology hasn't changed. So what's going on? 43% of girls use social media for 3 hours or more a day compared with 22% of boys. And the CAST report highlighted a previous review that found use of social media was associated with body image concerns. Numerous other studies cited by the report implicate smartphone and social media use in mental distress and suicidality among young people, particularly girls. It showed that all the reviews showed that a clear dose-response relationship. The more hours spent online, the greater the effect of mental distress and suicidality. Okay, so that's on the social media. Peer and sociocultural influence. The report suggests that although the impact of societal influences on a child's gender expression remains unclear, it is clear that the influences of a child's peers are very powerful during adolescence. Several studies have implied that girls are more affected by peer pressure than boys and are more likely to develop a negative body image during adolescence. All right. So what else we got? Dangerous online influences. Cass said her review team received reports of gender-questioning children being urged to hide things from their parents. We haven't done a comprehensive search, but certainly when we were told about particular influences, I followed some of those up, Cass said. Some of them gave very unbalanced information, and some were told that parents would not understand, so they had to actively separate from their parents or distance their parents. All the evidence shows that family support is really key to people's well-being. So there was some really dangerous influencing going on. Cass says the influences are legion, but declined to identify any specifically. There's a couple more. Shall I carry on?
Yeah, keep going for the moment.
Okay, mental health. The striking increase in young people presenting with gender dysphoria should be seen within the context of increasing rates of poor mental health and emotional distress among the broader adolescent population, particularly among girls, the CAST report found. There has been a substantial increase in rates of mental health problems in children and young people, with increased anxiety and depression being most evident in teenage girls. UK national surveys between 1999 and 2017 show this. The CAST review found that there was a marked increase in young women aged between 16 and 24 presenting with anxiety, depression, and self-harm. Some conditions, for example, eating disorders, have increased more than others, particularly girls and young women. Studies of self-harm have shown similar increases. 70% increase in girls aged between 13 and 16 presented with self-harm. This was not seen in boys. Fucking hell, that's a massive disparity. 70% increase in girls, and there was not the increase in boys. The increase in presentations to gender clinics has to some degree paralleled this deterioration in child and adolescent mental health. Mental health problems have risen in both boys and girls, but have been most striking in girls and young women. Girls were also more likely to have low self-esteem, according to a study cited by the CAST review. They are also more likely to be unhappy with their appearance. Okay. Lastly, changes in concepts of gender and sexuality. All right, let's see what this says. The report states that the relationship between sexuality and gender identity is complex and contested, and that although a trans identity does not necessarily determine a person's sexuality, it was important to consider the relationship between sexual identity and gender identity, given that sexuality contributes to a person's sense of identity, and both may be fluid during adolescence. The report cites a 2016 research paper from GIDS that looked at sexual orientation in 57% of a clinic sample of patients over 12 years of age, for whom this information was available. Of the birth-registered females, 68% were attracted to females. 21% were bisexual, 9% were attracted to males, 2% were asexual. Of the birth-registered males, 42% were attracted to males, 39% were bisexual, and 19% were attracted to females. The report says this is common in adolescents to experience same-sex attraction and not to conform to gender stereotypes. In making sense of these feelings, young people are now having to navigate an increasingly complex interplay between sex and gender. So basically, it's normal, saying that normal to question for people to question, young people question sexuality, question their sexuality and gender orientation. this isn't anything new. Mm-hmm. The way we're dealing with it is new, and we are changing people's lives for the worse, potentially.
Yeah.
Somewhere else in the other part of the report, it says most people who transition at a young age regret it and or reverse it. Most do that.
Yeah. And like, what part of anything you've just said there, obviously it's a sort of broad brush thing, but how much of that did you listen to and go, well, that's not common sense? That was all, 90% of that was common sense. There's a couple of things like might be vaguely surprising, but the broad brush of this is they're fucking kids. This is completely normal stuff. Yes, we might be talking about it now, but all these feelings are completely fucking normal. And if you leave them alone, you don't do any weird suggestive stuff or have these things as even an option when you're a child, which you are until you're 18, whether you fucking think big boy pants or not. If you just leave them alone, most fucking kids will just be male, female, stay and fancy whoever they fancy. You don't have to start fucking, when it comes down to it, you do not have to start changing your biology and cutting bits off yourself.
You need a soak period. You need a soak period.
That's just it.
It would be great.
That's childhood. Childhood is your soak period.
Exactly. It is. You need to soak, it is.
And we've stopped doing it. It shouldn't even be a fucking option. It just shouldn't be in the conversation at all. It's like, yeah, maybe you are a fucking, your son comes to you and says he thinks he's a girl. It's like, yeah, no dramas, big guy. See you when you're 18. Love you anyway. See you when you're 18. We'll look into it then. You know, and if you are a parent who has that happen to you, I'm not a parent, so tell me to fuck off. If you're a parent that has that happen to you, you just know you have to keep an extra eye on your kid because they've got something else that they're dealing with.
You know? Oh, yeah. It doesn't make it easy to manage, does it? It's like, it doesn't at all, but it's not something new that you have. It's new to you as a parent to deal with something like this, but it's not new from parent or experience perspective. It's been for ages. No. One of those, I think. It's like, I struggle to understand how a parent could think this report is bad or that. Yeah, this report is bad or people. Yeah, that the report is bad. Because you get those parents.
By bad, you mean like dangerous and wrong.
Yeah, that they say the report's wrong and if a child is unhappy, then they should. I can't remember what it's called. There is a method of parenting, isn't there, where you basically let the child do what they fucking want.
Yeah.
You give them everything they want, do what they want.
It's called being a bad parent.
agree with that.
It's called being a fucking bad parent.
Yeah,
like, there's a difference. Like,
but they're the only kind of parent I could see who would wholeheartedly think, no, but little Timmy wants to be a girl. Let's let him be a girl. We should let him do what he wants and blah blah.
There's all sorts of dark shit attached to that as well, about the parents being fucking like wrongins, as in, you know for a fact there are situations where the parent thinks it's the best thing in the world that they've got a special little child that they can wave at people and go, look, my kid's trans. Look at fucking Hollywood. Jesus Christ. If you look at the amount of fucking people who are supposed to be trans, like percentage wise, and how many Hollywood celebrities have got trans kids. Mental.
Really?
Yeah. Have a look at that. It's just it's just impossible.
There is another big is it Swade or Swab?
Which big Swab. You choose.
I say Swade. I say Swade.
I would say Swab.
Fuck sake.
Yeah. Right. Before we get into this, just on the parenting thing, like some of the languages, language is really fucking important. And that's why when people attack language and try and make you use different words, we've spoken about this in the past, when people try to, they're changing how you're allowed to think when you talk about words and they change the meaning of things. So you can be a supportive parent. So the phrase gender affirming care, like the affirming thing I think is an issue. If your kid comes to you, you don't affirm what they say. kids say fucking stupid things because they're kids. You can be supportive and talk to your kids and communicate. Like I said, I'm not a fucking parent, so tell me to shut up. But support your kid, communicate, educate where you can. Just generally be a fucking good, supportive parent. You don't have to affirm what a kid says to you because they're stupid. They're kids. They don't know yet. So gender-affirming care. I know it. Yeah. Don't like it. Anyway, carry on. It annoys me because
I agree with you. There's another swathe of types of parents who would maybe support this, and you'd be surprised at them supporting it, as in supporting young permanent interventions, operational interventions. I'm talking about here, and that is, you know, it can be. I am a parent, as you know, you can get really. You got to be really careful sometimes, I think, when you've got a child who's unhappy, or you're worried about for some other reason, you got to be really careful to not wrap yourself up in really complex thinking and analysing of the situation and tying yourself in knots over what is the right thing to do as a parent, because ultimately you don't want your child to be unhappy. Right. And it can be really fucking hard. It can be really fucking hard for obvious reasons. But short term, it's like short term unhappiness of your child sometimes is a necessity for long term happiness and quality of life.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's the fucking way it is. I had my daughter got diagnosed with depression, and in the early stages of that going on, and when we were looking at, we were the doctors looking at, well, early on it was trying to identify whether this was a depression thing or was it not, and then we went to the doctors about it. But one of the things that came up early on was, you know, she was at a certain stage in her education, and that seemed to be having an impact. It seemed to be the main cause of her mental state. It seemed to be. And the obvious thing to do at the time, if that was correct, was to bin that off. Bin that, if you could bin it off. It's university, right? Bin it off then. Okay, if this is affecting you this bad, if it's affecting my child this bad, then let's remove that thing that's impacting us. But we weren't sure. And along with like GP, NHS service and stuff, we ended up wedging it out. It was fucking real, real hard for a long time. Real, more for her than for her parents, me and her mum. Real hard, but and real fucking miserable. But now, right, it's real. And she's still there. And if we'd gone back and parented in a different way and said, right, thing making child unhappy, remove thing. Make life changing decision, which is what it can be when it comes to university and qualification, depending on what vocation you're going to go down. Life changing. Okay, let's remove that thing. And you know, we did it because we weren't sure. Could have been the wrong decision. It could have worked out the wrong decision, but it was a very small chance that was going to be the case. But the point is, we had to make the decision that okay, prolong the short term unhappiness. To ensure we find the correct outcome, more take on some short-term pain to make sure we're making the right decisions. Yeah,
yeah.
And that's what we're going to do sometimes, you know. And the other side of it, that there's a lesson taught to her on that. There's a lesson taught to her on that. I'd like to think that when she grows up and maybe becomes a mum, becomes a parent, that she'll think the same thing and not jump into rash decisions when she's got a really unhappy child, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, totally.
Nightmare. It's fucking common sense.
Yeah, it is all this stuff. Like I said, it really winds me up because it's the conversation around a lot of this has been shut down really aggressively by people on the other side of the argument, people who think that you know, you should basically just, if your kid comes to you and says this, you must go along with the kid, because if you don't do that, then you're being you're being bad. You know, you're a bad person for not listening to your kid. And it's, there's certainly online, there are armies of people who, if you question any of this stuff, it's the classic stuff. You know, you will be called this, 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 and this for just questioning and going, hang on, should we be doing this with kids? Is this too young? You'll be attacked. And that is the thing that happens now. You say something that you might say in private because you feel safe doing that. You say it in public, you get attacked, you get shut down, and you shut up about it. Well, most people do. Most people just shut up about it. Or just go, I'm not going to talk about that because I can't be honest having an argument with you. And I think there's a lot of very naive people who just, you know, people who just want to be, there's two sides to this. There's the people who just want to be right. There's the kind of the next thing people, the people who buy the party line on absolutely everything. They want to just fit in and just say the right thing constantly. And they get that fed from whatever inputs they have online. So mainstream stuff. Get those people who just repeat the party line because they want to fit in. There's also the genuinely just naive, nice people who they want everything to be happy and nice. And if your kid is upset, then you need to do whatever it is to try and do the right thing. And they might get that right thing wrong if they're getting bad advice from professionals. So if you were a parent and you went to one of these places, the party line isn't the mainstream. Hopefully this changes now, but the mainstream party line is not just tell your kid to fucking hold fire and we'll see him when they're 18. That's not the party line. The party line is, okay, you need to go and see this specialist, go and see this charity, go and see this NGO, look at these, speak to these counsellors, all these people. And what this report shows is that those people were not giving good advice. They were giving really fucking sketchy advice. So you put your trust, you are these good people who put your trust of your child, which is like the most precious thing to you in your life. You give these professionals who are supposed to know authority to speak to your kid. And then they say something that's really fucking stupid and potentially, as this report shows, ends fucking damaging your kid permanently. Yeah.
This is one of the situations, I think, where as a parent, you've got to be super, super selective about who you go and speak to about this. Because I can see how it could get to a point where you go, fuck, like, little Timmy or little Alice, because they're saying it's mostly girls. Now, our daughter Alice is convinced, has been convinced for months now, that she wants to be a boy. She's seen about transition operations. She wants to have a breast removed and should this, that, and the other, and fuck, and like, we're not sure, what do I do? And I've got to the point as a parent where maybe I can't see how else I can manage this, and she's getting increasingly upset and angry because we won't take her seriously, we won't take her to see someone. I'm afraid she's going to do something stupid behind our back because it's becoming more and more easy. So what do I do about it? I would want to take her to a doctor or a counselor or a psychiatrist or some shape or form. But the first thing I want to do in that situation is I would go, so let's say I get recommended someone, or I go to see the GP. I probably go to the GP first because it's free, it's accessible. I go to the GP myself, and I'm just thinking, actually, what I would do? I book an appointment with the GP, I go to speak to the GP, and I'd say, hey, I've got this situation. This is the situation with Alice. How would you approach this? And I'm basically interviewing the GP. Because if the GP's first thing at the GP's mouth is, yeah, it's really common now, but thankfully there's we can do a referral and get this stuff sorted out straight away and into kids and get the operations and the treatment she needs. We can start on hormone blockers. That doctor is not seeing my daughter. What I want to hear from the GP is, interesting. Okay, well, first I think we need to book in with get referred to a counsellor, psychiatrist, and it may be the case that she has a gender issue, which I can't remember what the fucking name of it, gender dysphoria, which may be ongoing. She may require an operation to get older. But the majority of these cases, it's not. And it's just a phase she's going through. say those words to the far left and they fucking flip out. Just a phase. Yeah, most of the time it is a phase.
Many, many, many of them.
For multiple different reasons.
Yes.
Multiple different reasons. Most of them external. You've got the type of personality that child is and you've got the environment they're in. You know, and what they're being exposed to. Anyway, that's what I'm doing. I want to make sure who I'm going to see and bring Alice to is not completely blinkers on and somebody's just going to go, yeah, let's get her in for the operation and fast track everything because that's what they think is the right thing to do. I don't want that. I want a GP who's actually going to do the fucking job.
Well, don't look into properly. The US. Like in the US, obviously, it's slightly different to the US. But slightly this is kind of important, actually. So, thing I'm about going to talk about now with the US and you know how there's actually money being made from doing these operations, like lots of money, a financial incentive for getting people through the door and having fucking hormone treatments and operations. That might be the case there. It's not quite the same here because obviously we don't have the same pay to play system. But the kids here are seeing. The people in the US who are having these operations and stuff and going through this process, they're seeing that online because the internet's universal. And most lots of influencers that you'll see, if you're a UK person, will be US influencers. So you're seeing more of it for whatever reason in the US, and that impacts here. So it's all connected. It's this massive turbo hideous web. And if you like, if you think we're overreacting about this and like, you know, worrying about these operations and things like that and the hormones. If you think we're overreacting about this, just take a fucking deep breath and go and look at what these operations look like. Go and look at the results of it. Now, the breast removing thing generally seems to turn out semi-okay. Fucking hell, just have a look at what happens with the between the legs bits on both because it's fucking bad.
Yeah.
It's real fucking dark. And the problem is a lot of these people who have bought that, some of these people who are giving this advice are giving very bad advice. There are certainly people I don't know whether this is in this report or not, but there are certainly people giving advice to these kids that this stuff is reversible. As in, like, easily reversible. Like, don't worry. There's no long-term effect of you. Obviously, if you chop something off, that's different. But, like, with the hormones, if you stop a male kid going through puberty, and I'll talk about the male thing because I'm not a girl. If you stop a male kid going through puberty, and then down the line, if they change their mind, that dude is fucked. You ain't getting that back properly. There's all sorts of changes that happen to you during puberty. That if you do late, it's just you're not going to be what you would have been, and it will damage you forever. And you can't. Yes, you can get testosterone and all that, but the changes are not the same. Like this is not a. This is. It's being when it comes down to it, the whole thing is being taken too lightly. Way too lightly. That's why, like I said, it's my view. This is fucking child abuse, and some people need to fucking burn for it.
Yeah.
Massively. Yeah. If no one goes to prison over this stuff in the next 5 to 10 years, if no one goes to prison over this stuff, there's some real sketch happening.
I don't think they will. We don't think they will. I don't think so.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it can be attributed to any one person at that time. It's just like the clinics and stuff getting, well, GPs initially, and maybe some policymakers getting swept up in the ideology of it.
But that's it. But that's the problem. That's the problem. It's your job not to do that. It's your job not to get caught up in it. It's your job as a professional to say, this is bullshit. We're not doing that. This isn't a good idea. That's your job. If you haven't done that and it's been allowed to get to this point because professionals not doing their job, there should be repercussions for it.
Mm.
That's why we're in the state we are with the world.
I think if anyone does, it'll be corporates, and it'll be like you were saying about the USA, the money being made from it. There are adverts that people's children have seen, and here in the UK, there are ads, paid ads, you know, literally money being thrown at advertising that are encouraging children to go and seek out a clinic, to get a fucking sex change. Like, hey, feel like this? You need this because they're making money. Like, in the same way, imagine there was a campaign that was an advertising campaign from a company or companies that was like, hey, have you got bad scarring? Or have you got acne? Have you got skin tone that you don't like? Come into us and get a full body tattoo. It's totally reversible. You can laser tattoos off these days. Come and get a full body tattoo. If you're 15-year-old, 16, if you'd be happy with it, if you think, are you 15-year-old, are you 13-year-old, are you 12-year-old, it's like, yeah, they want to go and get a sex change and they're really unhappy and like, you won't get it. And you think, maybe needed. Now, do the same exercise in your head and the same child comes to you and says, yeah, I got fucking bad scar on my arm from when I burnt myself. I want to get a full body tattoo. Or I want to get a two full sleeves, you 12-year-old. You can say fucking no. Yeah. As a parent, you're like, yeah, go get your sleeves done. Go get your sleeves done. You're not going to do that. You're going to say no because of the long-term implications of that kind of modification to your body, right? They will do. Sex change is worse.
Yeah, totally. But it's one of the, that's why there's a real danger with people. I understand why. You mentioned it earlier, the line of like, well, you know, your parents aren't going to understand this. So you shouldn't talk to your parents about it. You should come and talk to one of our people, as in fucking charity, NGO, fucking doctor, whatever.
That should be prosecutable. That's saying, what I'm saying. Hide it from your parents. That should be prosecutable.
This is my point. That's sketchy as fuck. And there's all sorts of, you know, bigger picture stuff about, you know, that's connected to outside. Your kids are yours. There's lots of language flying around at the moment in recent years about how, you know, countries need to be the state referring to children as the state's children instead of the parents' children. It doesn't matter what the fact, unless the parent is an abusive parent, and I mean abusive in the way that it was meant when I grew up and when you grew up, not abusive now. Well, just, yeah, actual fucking abuse. Unless the parent is abusive, the kid is the fucking parents. And if you get raised one way by your parents, that's how it fucking is. And maybe it's shit, maybe it's great, but that's what parenting and children, having children is. Saying to your kid, right, I've heard what you're saying. I understand this is how you feel. I understand this is what your friends are saying. I understand this is what you're seeing online. No problem. But you can't do anything about that until you're 18, and then I'll support you in whatever you want to do then. That is not abuse. It doesn't matter how fucking sad your kid gets. That's not abuse. That's good parenting. Most of these kids will end up, well, most, many of these kids end up being gay. Who have real problems like this. You know, they're either standard issue human beings or they end up being gay. And who gives a fuck about anyone being gay anymore? Jesus. No one gives a fuck.
Well, I tell you, people don't care about people being trans. This is part of the thing with, part of the problem with this. I spoke before, and you have as well, where on different things like this, be it some other movement or be the trans, not movement, trans isn't a movement, but the trans debate, right? Young people trans debate. Is that you can end up putting so much effort into trying to make people not be discriminated against, that you go too far and it damages the very thing you're trying to protect. So in this trans debate piece here, there are people who are morons who will see the cast review, they will come out, and it will reinforce their view that trans people are fucking idiots and all mistaken. And the whole thing is bullshit. And they're the kind of people who see or hear about a trans person and they immediately dismiss it or immediately negative about it, right? Which is bad because there are people who are trans. They exist. Like, and they're not bad people. They're people like you and me. You know what I mean? That is a reality. And yet they, because of poor evidence, poor policies, and young people getting fucked over permanently, bad way, as highlighted by the cast review, because of those people, it brings bad press, bad not bad press. It brings, yeah, it can increase negative perception of that thing, be it trans people, be it racial equality, be it gender equality. It can bring bad, like, you know, there's, like as you said, you and I have, we know trans people. I have a good friend who's trans, and you know, I've seen stuff from her the last 6 months or so, as in online, where she's feeling perceiving an increasing sense of hate towards trans people, she must feel terrible about that, because she's fucking trans, and it's not her fault. She's not doing anything wrong. She's not generating this hate, but she's feeling it, which means she is less happy than she should be. And it's because the thing has gone too far. What are we doing? Giving children sex change operations without any proper investigation, analysis of that child's situation, mental state, without any assumption that this could be something else first. It could just be what happens sometimes to kids, and they go through this mental journey and mental fucking hoops. Oh, am I gay? Am I not? Am I in the right body? Am I not? Am I happy the way I look? Am I not? Am I happy the way I think? Am I not? You know, bad. I feel bad for, you know, people like my friend there, who I mentioned, and other people. And it's not their fucking fault. They shouldn't have to feel like that. But unfortunately, money and morons has made it this way.
Yeah. You know, we've just done 50 minutes on that. But to be honest, if you are sick of hearing about this, well, kind of tough, because it's a fucking big thing, this. And you kind of should be talking more about it. Because I know we've spoken about this a million times. This is what happens. Something is a very contentious subject, even if it shouldn't be. And so people don't talk about it. We, you know, I think we've come to the conclusion here that if common sense had been applied straight away, widespread, none of this would have happened. To it, you know, there's a good chance it wouldn't have been as bad as it is.
Well, common sense was being applied, and then it changed.
That's like, my point.
The trans treatments is not a new thing.
Yeah.
What changed was the left.
Well, that's just it. It does seem to be the left that are kind of down with this. And I think there's a couple of reasons. There's the really fucking... There's a sketchy side of that. And there's also the people who are on the left who just want to be thought of and be, you know, are maybe some of them, but just want to be thought of as being the kind people, the nice people, the people who care about people, whether that's in a financial manner, mental health manner, any of these things, the sort of drive to just be nice and not be nasty and not make, when it comes down to it, sometimes not make really fucking hard choices. That sort of inclination that some people on the left have leads to this. Because all you need to be able to, all you need to say is, but that person's suffering now because of your policy, your opinion, what you said. That person isn't happy now. You are doing damage to this person because of this. That inclination to not go, well, maybe this person needs to be unhappy for a bit. Maybe this is an okay bit, an okay. No one's happy all the time. Maybe this is just something really difficult that they're going through, like lots of people do, and they just need to find a way through it, and it will get better in time. Instead of just going, we must go along with whatever this person says, yeah. Or they might be sad. You know, there's that. Yeah, there is. There's the. There's the fact that it's become political is an issue in itself. That there are kind of sides to this. It's not helpful for it to become political, is it?
No, but it's not surprising. The politics is split between left and right, isn't it? As in the parties, as they're perceived to be. The same in America.
Yeah, but it's not a helpful thing.
It comes down to how common sense those parties are.
Well, yeah. I mean, everybody has access to common sense. It's whether you fucking, you want to believe it or not. you want to, you know, sort of trust your instincts. I mean, your instincts sort of are right a lot of the time on things. They are quite a lot of the time. It's over 50% your instincts are right, I think, anyway. Maybe that's just me. If something feels smelly, it probably is. If you go, I'm not sure about this, there's normally a reason why you're not sure about it. And also, I also feel sorry for all the fucking, there are definitely professionals in fucking charity field, health field, mental health field, all those people. There are definitely people there who have had a real fucking, I've either known or have had a real inkling that's sort of real smelly about this for a long time. And for whatever reason, haven't had the character. And I guarantee it will be finance related. I bet it's finance related more than social related and peer related. You know, they don't want to lose the job. They need the fucking money. Times are fucking hard. So when they should have gone, I'm not doing this. This is weird. Or should we look at this again? I'm not sure about that. When they should have done that, they haven't because they don't want to lose the job. And that's, there's nothing you can do about that. Some people are going to do that and some people aren't. It's when it comes down to it, it's a character and leadership thing to stand up when something isn't right and say something, even if there might be real cost to yourself. And sometimes that's short-lived. Sometimes we see, you know, we saw during COVID, some people who put their hands up during COVID and say, I'm not doing this, lost their jobs and then got their jobs back down the line. Sometimes that happens. But the reality is, the lack of people doing that, in whatever the scenario is, the lack of people doing that is how you end up with the world we have now, where everything seems like it's going to shit. Lots of things seem like they're getting worse because no one put their hand up and went, hang on, let's have a rethink on this. And if they did, they were treated very badly instead of being treated seriously, which is concerning everywhere.
Yeah.
So we've got, if we're doing an hour, we've got 5 minutes left. Do a bit longer. Are you busy?
Well, let's talk about Brazil.
Yeah, but Brazil doesn't seem quite as mad. It is just as mad. It's a free speech thing. So guy who's in the, I can't remember the guy's name. I knew this was going to happen. Guy who's in charge of Brazil at the moment is not particularly popular. Lots of protests on the streets about him. They also have a completely mental Supreme Court judge or their version of that, who is not a fan of free speech and is applying a lot of pressure to people. It's like he's running the country in some way. It's really weird. But this battle is happening on X, on fucking Twitter. And if you're not on Twitter, I'll repeat, you really should get on there. Get on there, get new inputs, curate your inputs, because at the very least, it will make you question some of the things you think are true. You'll just get more input. So anyway, what's happened is Twitter obviously has to, or X, has to abide by the law in each country that it operates in. And that's reasonable. They were put under a lot of pressure by this Supreme Court guy to censor political opponents, outspoken people, the opposition to him and his side, basically. They're put under an awful lot of pressure to do that. And what has happened is Elon has decided that he's going to fight that corner. Because for some countries, like the way Brazil is going, you know, places like Canada, places that have gone a bit fucking west, a bit fucking weird. For a lot of people, X is somewhere where you can get opinions that aren't mainstream or not of the ruling party or whatever. So he has to support free speech there. So what's happening is, you know, apologies, I've been distracted by a fucking text message on the screen from my wife. Fucking hell. Okay, bear with me. Yeah. To round this, I've waffled massively here, haven't I? Yeah, so anyway, initially, Elon X has just gone, right, well, fuck off. No, we are still going to run in Brazil. We're not going to make any revenue. We're not going to be able to get any financial benefit from doing it. But we will do two things. We will allow you to say whatever you want if you're in Brazil, which is doing anyway. We won't censor anybody. And now we will also release all the requests we got from the Brazilian government and the Supreme Court there about who they wanted banning, who they wanted restricting. So you're going to see behind the curtain of all the stuff that government didn't want people, that their people to talk about and know about.
Yeah. So in Brazil, the law there that Twitter has to abide by, X has to abide by, any social media platform has to abide by if they want to operate there, is that if the government, if the law says that they have, that let's say X has to remove content, then X has to do it. So let me just build on that. Where is it? In Brazil, judges can order any site to remove content. Some decisions are sealed from the public. Neither Brazilian courts nor X have disclosed the list of accounts that have been ordered to stop publishing to X, but prominent supporters of former president Jair Bolsonaro, and far-right activists no longer appear on the platform. So the government's going, remove our opposition, take their voice away, please.
Yeah, and the far-right thing there isn't necessarily a factual thing. It's just right. It's just not left. Yeah. I mean, the Bolsonaro, the ex-guy.
Were they investigating former President Bolsonaro from banishing his far-right allies from social media, ordering the arrest of supporters who stormed government buildings on January the 8th, 2023? Moraes, the judge, has aggressively pursued those he views as undermining Brazil's young democracy. Days after a mob stormed Brazil's capital, de Moraes ordered Facebook, Twitter, Telegram, TikTok, and Instagram to block the accounts of individuals accused of inciting or supporting attacks on Brazilian democratic order.
Now,
accused of. And what does supporting look like? If I retweet a tweet that says Brazil's government is shit, like we should do something about it, and I did that on January 8th, 2023, am I getting accused of supporting
fucking,
that?
Fucking probably.
And then my account's getting binned.
Yeah.
Now people may see, oh well, yeah, okay. Well, yeah, get your account binned for being an arsehole and saying bad things about the government. Maybe it's just, maybe not, but it's not just me as an individual, it's across the board. So you remove it, you're removing their voice, you're removing the balance in the debate, in the argument, in the public perception of the ruling power, right? Yes. You're removing the balance. Problem.
Just look at this way. If you are somebody on the left in the UK, say you are a hardcore fucking Labour supporter, right? And the government, Tory government currently, goes, okay, I want all these accounts banned. So all the fucking big left voices, I want them all banned off social media. I want them restricted massively. If they did that, you would lose your shit. And but it works the other way too. You have to hear the other side. That's like, free speech is a good thing. Anyone who wants to censor your speech and stop what you're saying or stop your access to people who think differently to you or the same as you, you've got to fucking... You should not be supportive of that. I have massive fucking suspicions about you if you support that.
So what Elon's done as he's realized what's been going on, because and historical account and historical request to when it was Twitter before he was CEO included, and realized what's been going on, and there's been banning since he took over as well, because obviously there are parts of the machine he can't control, every fucking part of it, right? And he's basically gone, no, fuck you, reinstate the accounts, not listening to you, Brazilian government, fuck you, I'm not going to remove these people who just happen to be opposition to who you are. And the accounts are going back online, or I'm not gonna remove them from being online, and that basically puts him at legal loggerhead for the Brazilian government. So they got a conundrum, really. They should be saying X can't operate in Brazil. They should be saying that, and Elon's obviously got a conundrum that if they say that, well, it'll be impacting his ad revenue anyway, because it's bad press in Brazil. And they won't want to, Brazilian organizations or people who don't advertise in Brazil won't want to throw ad money at what could actually disappear. X could cease to operate there, but that's what's going on.
For fuck's sake.
Peter Tech beer.
So it's fucking Bluetooth has gone shit today. Yeah. Anyway, try and get this thing to connect. Apologies, people. We did so well.
Why are you shouting?
Right. Is that better?
I think so.
Anyway, that's what's happening. That is what's happening. I don't think the sound's going to come back. So, you've got, what, 55 minutes of us ranting about the cash report and 10 minutes of shit sound when we talk about free speech in Brazil. Right. We'll cut away now, though.
It's
the AirPods, the fucking shit.
Mine are right.
Sometimes, yeah, but it's been crackling the whole time for me.
Oh.
Yeah, it's they did, I think, three times during this. They just dropped out the connection. I don't know why. Fucking, there's no battery issue anyway. Yeah. Well, thanks for listening, people. You are probably going to see, in the near future, as in next couple of weeks or so, more of a push from the SEG side of things on X, because Instagram and Facebook are licking me out again. So if you are a follower, going on now. Yeah, if you are a follower of SEG stuff, I would encourage you to get an X account and follow on X. It is a good place. Don't believe the fucking bullshit about how it's terrible. And it's a cesspit of nastiness. It is, if that's what you want it to be. If you want it to be a valuable resource.
Yeah.
There's some fucking great stuff on there.
And it is the best place to go for cutting edge news. What is happening right now?
Yep.
Like Joe Bloggs, who used to go run into newspapers or phone and go, I've got a story. I know the bridge has collapsed, or this is going on, and that's going on. And to the newspapers, they hope they get a bit of money. Or maybe no money, just a bit of attention, or feeling good because they did that. They don't do that anymore. They go to X. Literally what they do.
Instantly. And you go, yes, but there's false news there, there's fake news. Yeah, there is. There is on your TV as well. It's up to you to curate it. You have to put a bit of effort and curate the news that you're getting and work out. You know, you'll learn very quickly where is false and where is not. So I encourage you to do it. Just fucking try it. Right. Hope everyone has a nice weekend. Apologies for the sound again. We will get on top of this one day. One day.
Well, the answer is wired headsets.
I know. But, right, okay. You do some nerd stuff. Find us a wired headset. Yeah. And we will purchase some.
Right. Okay, why do I have to do this nonsense?
You're the tech nerd. You work in tech. As you can repeatedly tell me.
I've never said that.
Yes, you do. Yeah, I work in tech.
I've never said that.
Yeah. I bet you've got a fucking gilet, haven't you?
A what?
Yeah, a gilet shirt combo.
No.
But you have. Anyway, go. Jen, find that. find us a good wired headset thing so we can get past this bullshit. And then I will purchase us them.
On the Gilet. No, I had to Google what Gilet was there, by the way.
I don't believe you.
Our CEO constantly has one on, permanently. Yeah, I mean, like, what?
It is the tech bro wear. So, fucking hell, here's a weird tangent. It's been tech bro stuff for years. Tech bro and finance bro. It came from finance bros.
Has it?
Then it went to tech bros. And here's an interesting one for you. It's also SF bro now. It's been SF bro for quite a while. So if you are a SF-y type person who has to go and deal with normal humans, you'll probably find yourself in some kind of Patagonia fucking gilet on top of your shirt. I guarantee you. I know. I know that. So there you go. So if you see a fucking shirt combo gilet dude, they're either in finance, tech, or they're SF. Max loses. Anyway.
Cool. All right.
Have a nice weekend.
Catch you later, people.
Bye.
Bye.